Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're visiting with IHSA Administrator Sam Knox. He oversees both football and baseball. Well, first up, talk about football. I know we're hearing a lot in the aftermath of the district scheduling proposal being approved by the membership and moving forward to 2021, the implementation of that. I know a lot of conversation I hear in my travels, Sam Knox, is there's going to be a counter proposal through the legislative bylaw process. Do we know much about that other than rumor and speculation right now?
Well, we've heard many of that of those rumors and speculations too, but I will say that there was a principal who was in my office within just a few days of that vote announcement back in December, and he said, Sam, I'm not upset at the IHSA. I'm not upset with you. I know the process of how this all worked through the bylaw amendment proposal, but I don't agree with it, and I'm going to write a proposal to repeal the language before it has a chance to go into effect. So I've talked face-to-face with at least one principal who has told me he's going to write a proposal, and we've heard, just like you have, that many others are going to write proposals too.
And how the legislative bylaw process works, we were talking a bit off the air. Most of those bylaw proposals are submitted during the new school year, which would be next school year. So that's normally in the fall when you hear stuff like that. You haven't, I guess what I'm saying right now, you haven't heard officially with a proposal being submitted to the Bloomington office yet.
That's correct. And most of those proposals, people, you know, try to share thoughts through their conference meetings and other principals and ADs around their area where they live. You know, what do you think about this? Would there be much support? And then usually they formally submit those in writing in the fall of the new school year.
And then in terms of, give us a refresher course then how this bylaw amendment proposal works. So the proposal is submitted. There are town hall meetings that occur in the fall that member schools can attend, and then it goes to the Legislative Commission, and they kind of determine if that gets on the ballot or not. Long story short, I guess, am I getting that right?
Yeah, you're in the ballpark. The Legislative Commission actually meets twice in November. They meet early in November, and they review all of the proposals that have been submitted. And they talk among the group of pros and cons, and what do you think about this, what do you think about that, and without really making any formal ruling or recommendation on them. It's just a discussion. And then we go out, our staff at the IHSA goes out to all the town meetings around the state, and that's when we meet with all the principals or athletic directors, official representatives who show up to represent their school. And we go over the pros and cons again, get some feedback, take a straw poll, how many people support this, how many people don't support this, how many have no opinion. And then the Legislative Commission gets back together again following those town meetings, and they look at that feedback. All right, proposal one regarding residence and transfer seemed to have about 90% support from around the state. Okay, probably makes sense to put that on the ballot for our schools to vote. Proposal 2 regarding some other topic only had about 15% support from around the state. That one's probably not going to go on to the ballot. But that second meeting is where the Legislative Commission formally decides which proposals go from being simply a proposal to officially on the ballot for the schools to vote. And normally we get in the 20s, maybe 30 proposals, but all of those don't always make it to the ballot.
And then it's up to the member school to cast a ballot, and each member school's 800-some-odd get one vote on those issues, right?
That's correct. And those schools get to vote on every proposal, whether or not they even have that sport or activity. So, for example, if there was something on the ballot about wrestling and a small school doesn't have a wrestling program, they still get to vote, and they have three options. Yes, I support it. No, I don't support it. Or I don't have an opinion. And that no opinion vote really it doesn't count. It's just kind of it doesn't count as a no, it doesn't count as a yes, it just means I don't have an opinion, so I'm not voting yes or no. And we did hear some feedback from schools last fall. Well, gosh, this football bylaw proposal passed by only 17 votes. Why did every school in the state get to vote on it, even if they don't have a football team? Well, that's just the way our Constitution and bylaws are written, that everybody votes on every topic, whether or not they have that sport or activity. And we're not able to personalize a ballot, so to speak, to a certain high school, knowing whether or not they have football or wrestling or swimming or tennis or golf. They just get to vote on all of the proposals that are out there.
Well, and I guess the other thing I heard, too, is the issue of co-op should only get one vote because they're one team in in the sport of football. And I think a lot of people learned, you know, how the legislative process works within the IHSA, because this was such a hotly discussed topic, that the district scheduling. And I guess that the question begs then, I mean, we're here and we're talking to you here in April 2019, so we have the 2019 and 2020 football season, right? And then the 2021 is the target date for the implementation of districts. So I know a lot of wheels have to be in motion kind of right now, determining, hey, how is this going to look? But then you throw in, well, are we going to have this bylaw amendment proposal that says, let's stop the process and go back to what we were doing? So I guess there, I don't know, that's a lot to chew on here as we move toward 2021, kind of not knowing if somebody's going to offer a bylaw proposal to stop this, or if they do, then what happens behind the scenes? So I guess there's a lot in play with all this still leading up to 2021.
There certainly is, and I try not to lose too much sleep over it, because I realize in the end it's out of my control. It's really up to our member schools what road they want to go down. You know, as we sit here today in April, we are preparing, and we put pencil to paper and made up some rough drafts of what district assignments might look like, because as of today, that was voted in by our membership, and we plan on preparing that in the fall of 2021. But even as we have begun to put rough drafts together, we hear almost every week of a school choosing eight-man, so they're out of the equation, or a school choosing to co-op with another school, so that takes two schools on the map and shrinks it down to one, or in some cases, a co-op is going to break up, and school A is going to have its own team, and school B is going to have its own team, so we go from one football team on our map to suddenly now that's sprouted into two. So you're right. There's a lot of moving parts and a lot of unknowns at this point, but we're moving forward with the anticipation that districts will be here in the fall of 2021. And if something changes in the bylaw amendment proposal process and schools vote to repeal that language, we'll be back to life as we've always known it, I guess.
I know, and I'm joking when I say this, but I know as a lot of coaches are listening to this conversation, you said rough draft. They'll say, Taylor, can you get that rough draft and tweet it out? And I'm joking, of course. But when you move forward, then, you're basically dependent on what the membership wants. But all things being equal, I guess. I mean, do you think in terms of percentage, what do you think a proposal is going to come to stop this thing that'll be submitted as a bylaw proposal? I mean, do you feel really good about those chances that somebody's going to offer the proposal to stop it?
I do, yeah. Like I said, with the principal who was in my office in December right before Christmas, and it's a person I've known my whole teaching and coaching career, and we have a great relationship. He said, Sam, this is nothing against the IHSA. This is nothing against you or our friendship. It's just I don't think this is the right thing for our membership, and I'm going to write a proposal to take it out. So, I mean, we respect that. It's a democracy. It always has been, and it always will be. We'll do what the member schools want to do. And, yeah, I feel very confident that hearing from him, there will be at least one proposal to repeal the district language, and heck, we might have a dozen, and we just condense that into one common proposal instead of having 12 different ones that say the same thing. But we'll see. That remains to be seen. We'll see what next fall brings about, and after we have more discussion about it among the football schools in our state.
All right, and you brought up eight-man, and I think what six schools did it this past year, 14 committed to do it next school year, and they play under the auspices right now of the Illinois Eight-Man Football Association. It's been declared an emerging sport by the IHSA. But 6-14 is pretty significant, and a lot of pockets of the state now are being represented. So I know I talked to you about this before, but when you look at kind of the next step of this becoming a state tournament series for the IHSA, got to be getting close each year now. So how does that impact, or how will that impact classification in football? Because there's 8 11-man classes, or 8 11-man classes now, and then you throw in this 8-man football if that becomes an IHSA sport. Is there some stuff to consider with classification if that happens?
I think so, and we've had some very preliminary discussions about that. You know, what's it look like when the day comes that we have enough eight-man schools and our board makes the decision to sponsor an eight-man state championship? Does that mean eight-man becomes a ninth class, or do we take the other eight classes and reduce them to seven, and the eight-man class becomes that eighth class? Again, very preliminary discussions. We don't know what that will look like. We just have to see how much eight-man grows over the next few years, and evidence of from last year to go to next year, it's more than doubled. I don't think it'll double every year. It'll slow down at some point, but certainly there's growth there from the small schools that see that as a great option for their football program.
All right, and to change direction quickly here, as I'm talking to you a day when winds are blowing 40 miles per hour. Now, temperatures are up in the 60s today in our listing area when we talk to you, but they're going to drop back down into the 40s, I think, tomorrow, Friday. Baseball, you oversee that. Before we get into the specifics of the season, I'd asked you, what about the pitch count, what we've been into that now a couple of years, and you kind of set off the air, and I think, too, because I don't hear much about it, that the dust has really kind of settled on that topic.
It has. You know, like anything new, like football districts or eight-man football or whatever new rolls out to our schools, there's some initial lots of questions. Sometimes we don't have answers to those questions. You know, what ifs and what about this and what about that? And there was some resistance, I might call it, from some schools about pitch count when we started this a couple years ago. But now this is year three of the baseball pitch counts, and really it's just become a way of life. I hear very little this year so far, knock on wood, no pushback or concern or upset coaches about situations. They've all just kind of come to know that that's the new way of playing high school baseball. And many of them have told me quite the opposite. They're not upset with it. They think it's been a really good change. And even small schools who struggled in the beginning with trying to play a competitive schedule and maybe having three or four or five games a week with just a handful of pitchers, they've realized, hey, we can't schedule like that anymore. We can maybe play two or three games a week and maybe one game on Saturday instead of a doubleheader. And they're okay with that, at least the feedback I've gotten. They know that, you know, with a small roster, that works for them, and that's probably a good thing for their pitchers. But the large schools, the 3A's and 4A's, quickly told me when we first rolled this out that, Sam, this really isn't going to change the way we do things because we've been doing pitch counts and monitoring our pitchers for several years. So it's fine. We now have formal rules on paper, but we've already been doing that, so it's really not going to change anything we do. So coaches have been very receptive to it, even though there was some initial pushback and hesitation, but they've kind of come to know that this is the way baseball is going to look, and we're doing this for the health of our pitchers.
All right. And one other thing, I know that the IHSA Baseball Advisory Committee, they meet once a year, and they meet in late August usually. And I know that the meeting last year, it didn't get a lot of play when you review some of these minutes, but I did see that the committee discussed the concept of moving the beginning and end of the baseball season later on the calendar to avoid potential bad weather in late February and early March. And I know kind of the nuance with the schedule this year, it was, I think, a February 25th start for the first day of practice. Then 2 weeks later, you could play the first official game. Is there any momentum to that topic of conversation yet, and how that kind of dovetails with maybe small schools that if they get a lot of games canceled early on their schedule, that means the back end of their schedule is backloaded, and then the question becomes, do we have enough pitching to even play these games? Because can we play six games in a week with our pitching thin roster? Do you think there's any potential movement or a bylaw proposal that could stem from that?
Well, honestly, I haven't heard any talk about that since our baseball advisory met back in August of last year. But we did kick it around the table for quite a while, and what a baseball season might look like. There was some interest in taking the season and just moving it back a month, and others around the table said, now, wait a minute, I'm not sure we want to be playing our state finals in late June and early July. So then there was some talk about maybe just take the whole season and push it back 2 weeks, therefore start practice 2 weeks later and have the state finals 2 weeks later, would still be maybe the third week of June, for the 3A, 4A schools. So it wouldn't be terribly late into the summer. But that was as far as the discussion went. The northern schools that are up near the Wisconsin border, they really struggle to get games in, and some of them maybe this time of year have only played a handful of games so far. Sometimes the first time they get outside is their first game of the season. They've been practicing in the gym all spring. In southern Illinois, they might have played quite a few games by now because the weather is just different. We have such a diverse state when it comes to north-south and weather patterns. But back to your original question, the last time we discussed it was at baseball advisory, and again, that would take a bylaw proposal to change what the season limitations are in baseball, because our bylaw currently tells us when practice can start and when the season ends, and it would take a vote by our membership to change that language to move the season back.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time of Sam Knox. Sam, only talked to him 5 minutes, and 25 minutes later, our conversation wraps up. But I do want to say something about the IHSA in terms of these advisory committees. You know, they do a great job on the IHSA.org website, where they post all the minutes from these advisory committees, whether you follow baseball or basketball or football or bass fishing. I know we just talked to Kirk Gibson about that a couple of weeks ago. So you can get all those advisory committee minutes on the IHSA.org website, and that's where you can find a lot of information. Always appreciate the time, Mr. Sam Knox. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
We'll have more on WRMJ and WRMJ.com in a moment.